Let me open us up in prayer and we will get going here. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for how incredible you are, how much you love us, how much you have blessed us, how you take care of us. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have gifted us and empowered us for ministry, to love others, to share the gospel message of the truth of Jesus. And so today I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to me and through me, guide me as we continue just learning more about you so we can understand how important you are in our lives, in the lives of Christians everywhere. We pray this in your name. Amen. So I was thinking that today would be the last of our Holy Spirit series. It has kind of spread out over 2 months, and we've had David Hoshizaki and Pastor Emily add a couple sermons as well. And as I was having a board meeting the other day, the Holy Spirit just dropped something on me. And so we'll be kind of, I think, finishing up next week, unless the Holy Spirit kind of guides me or leads me a different way. But today, there's a specific topic, and I think it's really important, another aspect to the Holy Spirit. And as we are sitting here continuing to help my dad with his treatment in Colorado, it's getting pretty warm, and I'm feeling, I'm just feeling the heat today, and I'm sure California is exactly the same. It's just a sign that summer is here, and with more people feeling comfortable about going out and traveling, we're seeing people who are taking more vacations, obviously way more than last year. And while it's nice to go to places and relax and kind of just get our energy levels back up, it's also nice to travel to new places and to do some exploring. And for those of you that are adventurous, you may really enjoy going to these new places and exploring on your own. But if you are on a tight schedule, or if you want to see as many things as you possibly can, or maybe just exploring on your own maybe makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable, you may hire a tour guide. And the advantage of a tour guide is they are familiar, they are experts with the area, so they know the most important things to see, the best places to shop, the best places to eat, and of course, the thing everybody needs to know, where the bathrooms are. But tour guides are also great because they help you from running into trouble. They help you from getting taken advantage of, or maybe little vendors who are selling you things that are way too expensive, or they help you to avoid unsafe places. And the reality is there may be situations where a tour guide may actually save your life. As Christians, we too have a tour guide who is with us all the time. But the things that he can lead us or guide us to or away from, they are way more significant than the best places to eat or the best places to shop. And our tour guide is the Holy Spirit. And along with renewing our minds and hearts and giving us words to speak and empowering with gifts to do ministry, the Holy Spirit can quite literally lead or guide us to places, situations, or people. And he can guide us or lead us away from those same people, really depending on if a situation is unsafe for us, or maybe if it is really beneficial for us. That is how the Holy Spirit is this incredible guide for us. But when you hear people talk about the leading of the Holy Spirit or the guiding of the Holy Spirit, what exactly are they talking about? Well, from a more theological or very scholarly perspective, ultimately, when we talk about the leading or the guiding of the Holy Spirit, we are talking about the Holy Spirit and his supernatural guidance to God's truth. Listen to John 16, verse 13 in the NASB. It says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." Now, in context, this verse, it's making reference to the Holy Spirit revealing the truth to the disciples about who Jesus is or who he was to them at that time, his death, and then his coming resurrection. So that's what that verse is talking about in biblical context. But is there something more to this leading or guiding of the Holy Spirit? Is there some other aspect to the Holy Spirit leading us to God's truth? And the answer is yes. And there are three passages that address this or deal with this very clearly. Acts 16, verses 4 through 10, Acts 8, verses 27 through 29, and Matthew verse 1. So let's go through those. The first one, Acts 16, verses 4 through 10. In the NASB, it says this. It says, "Now while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And they came to Mysia." They were trying to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. "And passing by Mysia, they came to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' When he had a vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God called us to preach the gospel to them." So here we see that Paul, he just met Timothy, and he has been traveling with Silas. But there were certain places that they were going to. They were just kind of going to all the cities and villages everywhere. But there are places that the Holy Spirit forbid them to go. And even when they tried to go to certain regions, maybe they were motivated to go there. Maybe someone said, "Hey, we really need to hear the gospel message over there." Again, the Holy Spirit at times did not permit them. But the Holy Spirit is so awesome. God is so awesome. He didn't just leave Silas and Timothy and Paul hanging. He didn't just say, "I'm not going to direct you at all." Paul was given a vision to go to Macedonia. And here was Paul's response. Immediately, they went. And we see that that is so incredible, that that is one way that the Holy Spirit, he guided or led Christians. Acts 8, verses 27 through 29, this time from the NIV, it says, "So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.'" So we see here that Philip, he has been charged with preaching in Samaria, which isn't easy by itself. When we've talked about the Israelites, the Jewish community, and the Samaritans, the people from Samaria, we've talked about that and that really broken and strained relationship. So he is going to a very hard place to preach the gospel message. But then the angel of the Lord says, "You know what? Go to this desert road, the one that leads to Gaza." And so he gets ready and he goes. And while he is in the process of going, the Holy Spirit guides him and says, "Go to that chariot, that one right there, you go to it and you stay by it." And because of that, he ends up preaching about Christ to the eunuch and he ends up baptizing him. And that's because the Holy Spirit guided him or led him to what the Holy Spirit, what God ultimately needed him to do. And then I love this one, Matthew 4:1. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Jesus, the King of Kings, God in human form, the one who died for us, he was led by the Holy Spirit. This is the beginning of Jesus's ministry. He got baptized. And then we see when you read scripture, it tells you that the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And then the Holy Spirit directed him to go to the desert where he would be tempted, and then he began his ministry. So what we see from these passages is that the Holy Spirit can lead Christians to or away very specific situations, circumstances, or decisions that are part of God's will, his truth. But let's talk about this a little more. We already know, we discussed this earlier, that the Holy Spirit, that he guides us or leads us to the truth about Jesus, who he is, what he has done, why we need him. That is what the Holy Spirit does. But the Holy Spirit can also lead you and me away from sin. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 17, going back to the NASB. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So praise God that the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us can lead us away from sin. And we see that there is this inner battle, this inner turmoil, that our flesh, our own selfish desires, and the Holy Spirit, what they desire for us and God's will. But if we'll listen, the Holy Spirit will guide us away from the sinful acts that we are doing or that we are about to do. The Holy Spirit can also lead you to your purpose. And this is so important because I meet Christians all the time who just don't know what their purpose in life is. We know that we were created to worship God, to serve him. We know that. But as Christians, we're like, but what is the specific thing that I am supposed to do? Do I get involved in ministry? Do I find some other kind of ministry, some other way to serve people? Well, listen to Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. And this is Jesus reading a scroll that was given to him. And ultimately what we see here is that he is reading from Isaiah. He's reading a prophecy that is about him. He is fulfilling this prophecy, and that is what is so incredible. And that purpose that God had for him, what God needed him to do. And God directed him through the Holy Spirit's leading or guiding. This is Jesus who needed the Holy Spirit to guide him to where God wanted him to be. Ultimately, it is all God, but it is being manifested through the Holy Spirit. So how much more do you think we need the Holy Spirit's help to guide us to God's purpose and plans for us? The Holy Spirit also leads us to God's will. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 10. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age had understood. For if they had understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of men, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Now I love this part because this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. For to us, God revealed them. These are those truths. Through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. So there are certain truths about God which cannot be revealed or understood by human knowledge or human effort. Therefore, we need the Holy Spirit to reveal them to us. And this is a great revelation because so many people, they try to understand the Bible from their schooling, from their intuition, from their experiences. That will not work. There are certain things in the Bible where we need the Holy Spirit to reveal them to us because some of those truths are just hidden. That is what Scripture tells us. We don't exactly know all the reasons why, but we do know the need that we have for the Holy Spirit to help us to understand certain truths about God and his will. 2 Peter 1, verses 20 through 21 talks about this as well. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Prophecies are the revelation of God's will, of his truth. Prophets told people what God needed them to hear. But no true prophecy is a result of any kind of human effort or human understanding. It is a result of the Holy Spirit moving on people's hearts to reveal God's will. So we need the Holy Spirit to guide us or lead us to God's will. Now, how do we experience this? So in a very tangible way, you may be asking yourselves that. How do we as Christians, how do we experience the leading or guiding of the Holy Spirit? How is it experienced? And it isn't the same for everyone. And some people, they probably haven't even realized that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to them or revealing things to them. But here are some different ways that the Holy Spirit guides or leads people. The Holy Spirit may guide or lead you through a dream. Maybe it's something very clear, like we saw with Paul earlier, somewhere you need to go, something you need to do. That may be something you experience. Maybe that vision is a little more vague, but it kind of directs you in a certain way. Maybe it's a vision. Maybe it's just something kind of in the middle of the day, something God just kind of puts in your heart, something that you see. It seems so real, you don't quite get it, but that's another way that the Holy Spirit could be guiding or leading you. A gut sense, maybe it's just something that you feel, this nudging, and it is so hard to explain unless you've experienced this feeling, but the Holy Spirit can just speak to your heart, speak to your mind. But this is one, I have a, kind of a little bit of a joke here, but this is one truly we have to be careful about, because sometimes what you may think is the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's butterflies. Maybe you're excited. You're in this moment. You're like, oh, wow, this new great thing's happening. It's a new relationship. You got butterflies. That may not be the Holy Spirit. That may be you and your excitement. Or maybe, honestly, this is the kind of funny thing. It could be bad tacos. I mean, I have met people that feel this thing is the Holy Spirit, and it's not. They literally ate something terrible. They're not thinking right. And later, it was kind of revealed to them, oh, yeah, I don't think that was God. So we have to be a little bit careful with the gut sense. Because a lot of times we'll end up relying on ourselves in that, and it may not be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit may guide or lead you audibly. You may hear God speaking to you. It is possible. We see that in the Bible. Maybe it's happened to you. Conversations with other believers. I would say this is one of the more common ways that the Holy Spirit guides or leads people, that the Holy Spirit will manifest through other people. And because the Holy Spirit is in all of us, they might start saying things to you, encouraging you, and it's the leading or guiding of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to have strong, mature Christians around us as part of our inner circle, those people that are pouring into us. You may be led to certain scriptures in the Bible. There's times when the Holy Spirit may be leading or guiding you and will just direct you to a certain passage, or maybe you're just opening your Bible and this passage sticks out to you and it's just confirming something that the Holy Spirit has been saying to you. And then this final one, and there are other ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us, communicates with us, the ways that he guides and leads us, but based on the scriptures, the passages that we read earlier, sometimes the Holy Spirit, he may put a physical impediment in front of you to keep you from going. And when something like that happens, I would say there's probably a really significant reason that you do or don't do that thing. You may never know what it is, but the Holy Spirit does. And that's what we saw earlier, that people were not, or they were forbidden to go to certain places. And we don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us, was it a person? Was it the weather? Was it, you know, some illness? What it was. But what we see that there was actual physical impediments that kept them from doing certain things. Now, this final part that we're going to talk about, because I think this is so important, it's so key, it's how do we recognize or how do we follow the Holy Spirit's leading or guiding more regularly? Because as I mentioned earlier with the bad tacos, we need to get to the point where we understand bad tacos versus this is the Holy Spirit. And then we also have to get to the point where we're like, but we also want to follow the Holy Spirit's guiding or leading. And so kind of the big kind of theme to this is that we need more understanding and we need more education. That is why we spent the last several months talking about the Holy Spirit. So in that, one, study the Bible. We have talked about this time and time again, but in this particular case, here's the reason. See how the Holy Spirit has led and guided people scripturally. We've taken a look today at several different people and their situations and how the Holy Spirit led them, but there's many more. And so spend some time in the Bible and God's word and take a look at how did the Holy Spirit manifest in people's lives to guide them and lead them in different situations that came up. Next, learn to better recognize God's will as the Holy Spirit acts according to it. So there's nothing that the Holy Spirit does that isn't according to God's will and his desires. So we need to understand God's will more. I talked about earlier how the Holy Spirit can lead us to God's will, but we can go to scripture to see what is God's character, what is God's nature, what are things that seem to be in line with what God thinks, what he does. We can't know like why God does what he does. We can't know everything about him, but we can understand his nature and character. Understand the Holy Spirit will not guide you to something regardless of if it is a place, a person, a situation, or decision, if it goes against God's will and what the Bible says. That's really important, and that will help you recognize if it's the Holy Spirit and also God's will. Go to scripture, see what God's character and nature is. If it's against it, it's not the Holy Spirit, or if it goes against what the Bible says. So hopefully that's a little bit of foundation for you as you are trying to understand and educate yourself about the Holy Spirit and how he leads us. This is another really important part here. Grow in your ability to sacrifice your own flesh. What I mean by that is be willing to give up what you want, your own selfish attitudes, your own selfish desires, your selfish will. We need to grow in our ability to sacrifice those things in our life. Because the biggest roadblock to you or I being led by the Holy Spirit or hearing the Holy Spirit is our self. It is our own selfish desires that get in the way, not only of the Holy Spirit's leading, we get in the way of our relationship with God. So begin to differentiate the difference between the flesh, what is your own selfish desires, your wants, what your will is, versus what the Holy Spirit's will is, what God's will is. So look at that biblically. Look at it experientially. When you have situations, maybe ask yourself, man, am I doing this for the right motives? What are my motives in this situation? And be honest with yourself as you're taking a look at what's driving you. That's what I mean by the experiential part of it. When you go out and you make decisions and you do things, think about it. Be like, hey, before I jump into this, before I make this decision, what is my heart condition? What's motivating me? Is it fear? Is it something I want? Is it some selfish kind of thing? Or is it, I really feel I felt or I heard the voice of God directing me to do this? And then identify your own fleshly weaknesses. You can do that in a broader sense, but then start taking a look at yourself. Say, hey, I struggle with this in this area. It's hard to hear the Holy Spirit when it comes to this issue. And it could be everything. It could be some sinful temptation. It could be friends and family. You could say, hey, it's hard to listen to God when I'm around my family because I put them before God. Think about that, because a lot of Christians struggle with that. We don't know what is or what should be the priority in our life. And number one, it should be God. So ask your spouse, ask a family member, ask a trusted friend about your areas of struggle. And again, be honest with yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit, one of the things that he does is he convicts us. So ask the Holy Spirit to convict you and to put on your mind and in your heart if you are sinning. And ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you or to burden your heart about sin daily. not just sometimes, get in the habit of saying, Holy Spirit, I need you to burden me each and every day, every second, every minute of every day. If I am sinning, please burden my heart because I don't want to. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Because many people, they sin and they don't even realize it. So we need the helper, the advocate, the guide. We need the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin. And then understand the times when people struggle the most to hear the word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And here are the four biggest times or situations, I would say, where people struggle to hear the voice of God and struggle to acknowledge or listen to the guiding or leading of the Holy Spirit. When they have time pressure, when time is of the essence, so to speak, when you are like, you have a deadline, it's really hard to listen to God because you are worried about the consequence of whatever you have to do and this deadline that you have. So time is one thing you have to understand. It's going to cause you to struggle listening to God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Time pressure. Two, financial pressure. When you have financial challenges, it is really hard to listen to the guiding or leading of the Holy Spirit. If you are not sure how you're going to pay your bills or you've had your car break down, it is not going to be easy for you to give to the church, to give to this homeless person, to give to a friend that's in need that the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, you need to do this. It's really hard to do that when you have financial pressures. Health issues. When you have various health issues, and if you have ones that are looking terminal from a worldly perspective, it is really hard to hear God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the final one, I'd say this is probably the most common. It is when we are being extremely emotional. When we are in a highly emotional state, it is hard to hear God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you some of the emotions that get in the way of people and what they need to do for God. If people are jealous, they're angry, they're sad, they're discouraged, if they're depressed, if they're feeling insecure, these are all things that go against or make it really hard to hear God and the leading or the guiding of the Holy Spirit. So it's important to understand not only our own struggles, but in general, how human beings, the things that basically weigh so heavy on us that it's really hard to be led by the Holy Spirit. Again, time, financial issues, health issues, and our emotions. Those are four of the biggest things that are impediments to being led or guided by the Holy Spirit. And this last one, the way that we can better understand or basically follow or be led by the Holy Spirit more is commit every aspect of your life to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I did mean every. Listen to Galatians 5 verses 25 or verse 25. And I love the way the NLT puts it. It kind of puts a bigger explanation to it. It says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Every part, not just some. Those three stories I mentioned earlier about Paul and Timothy, Silas, Philip, and then Jesus. When the Holy Spirit led these individuals, there was some similarities in all three of their stories. Every individual was serving God or preparing themselves to be able to do so. When the Holy Spirit instructed, they listened and they obeyed. The Holy Spirit's leading was connected to leading others to Christ. And then finally, part of the leading or guiding was to share the gospel message. And it's so important to understand that these individuals, they committed their lives to God, to sharing his message, whatever that meant. If it meant going to some places where they'd be dealing with some really tough people, if it meant just randomly going and following a cart or something, a wagon that they would go do it, a chariot, they would do it. If it meant Jesus being tempted by Satan in the desert, he did it. Their lives were all about God, and they were so led by the Holy Spirit, and it was so clear that they heard the Holy Spirit's voice or the way he was moving in their lives, but that is because they allowed the Holy Spirit to permeate every aspect of their lives. I want to end with this thought, and that is that we need to do the same, even if we think that something is mundane or so basic. You know, we have to get away from that thinking that, oh, just going to this restaurant or just doing this activity today, why do I need to pray about it? It's not such a big deal. I don't need the Holy Spirit's leading in it. We need to change our thinking, because you never know if that area that you're not submitting to God, if that decision or that activity, if for some reason you're not thinking that it's important enough to take to God, or for some reason you don't want to, that decision, that situation that you're in, it could be something that is completely life-changing and life-altering for you or for someone else. So I want to encourage you to submit every part of your life to God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. God, we love you. We need you, God, the triune God of the universe. We need you. We literally cannot do anything without you. God, if it's not your will, we don't wake up in the morning and breathe. We can't eat food. We can't drive our cars. We can't walk downstairs without you. Help us to understand that you're our everything. We may feel that we can make decisions and do actions on our own, but you're the one that allows us to. And if we will submit to your leading, Holy Spirit, our lives, though it doesn't mean we won't have challenges, we will be in line with God's will, which is a much better place to be. So Holy Spirit, burden our hearts. Help us to seek you in all things. Help us to bring honor to God, and help us to be so thankful for Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us. Holy Spirit, permeate every aspect of our lives. Guide us. Help us to better understand God's will. Help us to better identify and recognize when you are nudging us, when you're pushing us, maybe when you're kicking us, Holy Spirit, and help us to be obedient. God, we love you so much for everything that you are and everything you have been to us and all that you have done for us. Thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. We pray this in your name. Amen.